Welcome to the Partnership Podcast. As independent funeral directors, you often have two roles. Families see the support you give them and your work in the community, while at the same time you have all the pressures of business owners. So this time we're speaking to one independent about managing the business side of his work. Ross Hickton is from Hickton Family Funeral Directors in the West Midlands, and he's grown his family business over the years according to defined business goals. Now that growth has included acquiring other businesses, and today we'll be talking about that strategy and how he approaches the unique challenges of an independent funeral director business. So Ross, good to see you this morning. How are you?
And you, Malcolm, very well. Looking forward to getting in the pub the weekend.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I think you guys are slightly ahead of us on pubs opening. Ours don't actually start till Monday, but enjoy your weekend. I'm sure the weather will hold for you. Look, we're conscious you've been quite busy over the last few months, and so really interested to hear about how you're running your business at the moment. I mean, if we think of it as a family business that we know has existed for over a century now, can you tell us a little about its history and who's involved now?
Yeah, of course. So the business was first started by my great-grandfather, Joe Hickton, in 1909, as most funeral directors, undertakers were back then. He was a carpenter and builder. He was also a local councillor and at one point the local mayor as well. 1909, he started the dedicated funeral business in Craigley Heath in the West Midlands, where we're still based today. Mm-hmm. 1921, he moved the business to the premises where we are right now. Funnily enough, his wife, so my late great grandmother, was also the local midwife.
Right.
So, and the local saying back then, which some families actually still say to us now, is that she brought them into the world and he took them out. So quite funny, and it's nice history that people still remember that. They still say that saying to us. So their son, my grandfather, William, known as Bill Hickton, joined the family business in 1937, and that's when the business started to expand, as did the town. So then my dad, Trevor, came into the business in 1971. I then came into the business in 2006, pretty much straight from school. My brother Greg joined the business in 2010, and then my sister came into the business in 2015. So at the moment, there's me and my brother and my sister, and my dad still comes in for a few hours each day just to sort of oversee the office. It doesn't go out on funerals anymore. He'll go and attend, but he won't conduct.
Wow, that's a great story. So tell me, does your dad make any decisions anymore, or is he happy to leave that to you and the family?
Yeah, I mean, he leaves it to me, my brother and sister, really, to be honest. I mean, when he had the business, like I said, we had the one office and then a small office in the town up the road.
Yeah.
That sort of got seven funeral branches and a completely standalone stonemasonry business. So the business has evolved and grown quite a lot. I've overseen a lot of that growth, so I know the ins and outs and how the business runs.
Okay, so looking ahead, what's your vision and ambition for the business, and how do you embed that into a funeral director with such a long history?
Yes, I mean, obviously the funeral profession has changed a lot, not over just the last 100 years since we've been in business, but pretty much over the last 10 years. You know, before COVID, families were looking online more. They demanded and expected more from their funeral director. I think the days of dark and dingy funeral homes behind a net curtain, you know, the funeral director tells you what you're having more so than you tell the funeral director what you want.
Yeah.
Those days have completely and utterly gone now. So I would say to be as open and honest as possible with our families. Mm-hmm. I'll put our success down to our caring nature. I feel we go the extra mile. We're very flexible. We're a large business now, but we're still flexible. You know, families can contact us whenever they want. You know, me and my brother and sister still arrange funerals daily. We're very hands-on. And we try to communicate with families as much or as little as they want, really. We open and acquire businesses in the Birmingham, Wolverhampton areas. Yeah. Pure saw such a big market for a modern, fresh and new independent, really. Many of the known family-named funeral directors are sadly known corporate hands. A lot of families don't know that. They see the big names and think it's still the family.
And one thing I am interested in, actually, just reflecting on, you know, you leading that business with your brother and sister, you left school, came straight into the business. Where have you gained your business knowledge and acumen from, do you think?
To be honest, a lot of it I've just sort of learned myself. I mean, obviously, my dad taught me how to arrange, conduct a funeral, how to do the mortuary work, how to lie and trim a coffin. You know, you pick all that up on the days you're being a funeral director. But the business side of it, I will admit, I just sort of muddled along. I mean, we changed accountants not long after I came into the business. I had that transition of learning and understanding what they wanted from us.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot off them. I worked closely with our bank manager. It's a lot of her, Lloyd's Bank. She taught me a lot. But a lot of it, I've literally just learned by reading articles, reading autobiographies. And obviously, the times have changed. You know, everything's online these days. Everything's digital-based. And I am quite into computers and the digital world. So I've kept up with that and introduced that into the business and been able to put the systems in place, how to run a business modernly and efficiently.
Okay, that's interesting. And look, as an ex-banker myself, I can relate to that. I think if you have a good accountant and a good bank manager who's supportive, that's a good start for any small business owner.
I give you the leads of what you need to look at, and then I went and picked it up and learned what I needed to do. So, and I've seen that shift over time where I've relied on the accountant and the bank manager to help and assist me. Now I just sort of can do it myself because I've got the experience and I know what I'm looking for and what I'm doing more so.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks. Now, look, I talked in my introduction about how you've grown your business by acquisition. Can you talk a little about that process? So, in other words, how you identify what you want to acquire and then make it actually happen?
Yeah, so we've been pretty lucky, to be honest, over the years. So we've gone after businesses which have not necessarily been that large, but they've been in locations. So one of the first acquisitions we made was in Birmingham. They had four branches, all in good locations, but they weren't doing the numbers. They didn't really have the capital to invest to advertise and market the business. Now, sadly, one of the directors of that business passed away quite tragically, and his partner was left to sort of pick the business up and sort it out, really. He decided to sell it. We just heard on the grapevine it was for sale. We wanted to expand. You know, we felt that the areas we were already in, there wasn't much more expansion to be done because there's a lot of family funeral directors around here. So, you know, literally 10, 15 minutes into Birmingham, big city, a lot of funeral directors, a lot of corporate funeral directors, as I said. So this business we identified, they had four branches, but all in really good areas. To me, that is an area where you haven't got a family funeral directors, you just got corporate funeral directors.
Understand.
We viewed the business. We thought it's worth a punt. You know, we can afford the additional overheads. Yes, they were doing the massive numbers, but I could see the growth was there. So we took the business on. We did close down two of the sites straight away because they weren't making any headway. And we focused on two branches, which we felt were in good areas. I mean, one didn't have any competition at all. There was no local funeral director to there. So we spent, you know, a good few years marketing the branches, branding at Hickton's, and that really took off 3 or 4 years later down the line. And now they are completely standalone branches with their own mortuaries. The deceased are kept there. There's a couple of staff at each office, and they are good branches for us. So that was a good business to buy, to be honest. Again, because we saw and identified the area there was a need for a new independent funeral director.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Thanks. And are there any particular challenges for you personally, either in terms of, you know, the stress, the trying to cope with that extra workload, as well as being a funeral director, or the financing of it? I mean, do you enjoy that kind of process?
Yeah, I mean, I do sort of thrive off stress a bit. I do enjoy that high pressure sort of work. I mean, the biggest risk completely is the capital outlay. I mean, you're buying a business, you're taking a risk and a gamble. You're potentially taking on additional new staff, new overheads and new risks. How are the staff going to integrate with your current staff? How will the new staff work and arrange funerals the way we do our funerals? But eventually the benefits, if it all works out, outstrips the initial worry. It's an exciting time, to be honest. And when you see from what it was to where it is now, you know, you can only be proud, really.
No, sounds it. Good stuff. And look, for those funeral directors who are listening to this podcast, can you recommend anywhere a funeral director can go for advice or guidance if they want to consider their own acquisitions?
Well, I mean, if you look online, you know, there's a few agents that sell businesses. I wouldn't recommend that avenue. You know, they're generally overpriced, and the statistics and the accounts are ballooned, really. But I would say, you know, make sure you've got a good accountant. They can advise you and point you in the right direction. Funeral businesses are pretty unique, so you can't compare them to other business sales. So what I've done in the past is I've spoke to other large funeral directors who have acquired and bought businesses over the years, necessarily in my local area, and I've asked for their opinion and advice, but make sure they aren't direct competition. And I'd also say, if you are looking to expand your business and you do have a funeral business in mind you think would suit you, approach them, ask them. You know, we recently bought a stonemasonry business.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
We never dealt with them. They've been long established near our head office since 1881. But I just heard on the grapevine that they wanted to retire. You know, the owners are in the late 50s. I literally just knocked on the door and said, do you want to retire? I've heard on the grapevine you do. If you ever do want to sell, give me a call. And yet it was a bit cheeky and maybe a bit not what you should do. But 6 months later, they rung me back and said, you ever ready to retire now? Make us an offer.
Wow, good stuff. And tell me, in say in the last year or two, with the way you've grown your business, how have you approached the people side in terms of communication, taking them with you so they understand why you're doing it? How did you involve them so they didn't feel threatened in terms of what you were doing?
So obviously when you're on board in any new stuff, you've got a big risk and worry they're not going to integrate. So what we've always done is we've took along our long-standing employees who've worked for the family for many years and let them integrate with the new staff. So it's not just the family, the directors coming down talking to you. It's the staff who've worked for us for 10, 20 years. And they can tell them their stories and give them that peace of mind that everything will be okay. And what we find is because we're, you know, there's four family members in the business and we're all fairly young, forward-thinking and modern, a lot of the businesses we bought, they need modernising. So they actually appreciated it.
Excellent. So how do you view the future? If we take a sort of 5, 10, 15-year horizon, we've got regulation, obviously, is imminent, changing customer preferences. We're kind of working our way through a pandemic. How positive or negative are you as a leader of that business for the next 10, 15 years?
I'm very positive, to be honest. You know, we need regulation. Obviously, we've got the prepaid regulation coming in next year. Hopefully, we'll have the full funeral regulation as well coming in. But I welcome it. It's far long overdue. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a headache and a challenge to implement, but it's definitely needed. Sadly, we've seen far too many examples of poor funeral director practice in the media over the past few years. And sadly, families being ripped off by unscrupulous funeral plan providers. We, as funeral directors, need to be more open. We need to be more transparent. I'd recommend everybody to have a good website to give your clients as much information as possible so they can make an informed decision. Funerals will always be a distressed purchase, but gone are the days where a family will just go to their local undertaker. They have the internet now. They will do their research and read reviews. People like information. So being able to give your prospective new clients details and every bit of the service not only helps them make a decision, but it also helps you as the funeral arranger. As now they know exactly what they want. So this gives you more time to focus on the client's needs and really giving them the service and deliver what they require.
Excellent. Final question. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I do. I like the challenge. Like I said before, I like to see where the business was and where it was now. And where it is now, should I say. You know, we sort of went from doing 200 funerals a year when I came into the business to pushing sort of 800 or 900 now. Business terms, it has grown massively, but we're still at a comfortable stage where we still can look after the families. You know, me and my brother still can try to conduct as many funerals as possible in the business.
Sure.
And we are pushed at times, but if the family are using Hictons, in our point of view, it should be a Hicton on the day of the funeral, either arranging the funeral or conducting it on the day. And the families like that, you know, they want to see it through.
Excellent. And that's the essence of it. And I like the way we ended there, which is it is a family business, Hicton family business, and therefore you know, having a Hickton run your funeral is highly appropriate. That's great. Ross, thank you ever so much. That's quite a story. That's a lot of growth in a short space of time. And wish you luck in the few years ahead. And have a good weekend, all right?
Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Golden Charter's Partnership Podcast. You can find all of our episodes online at goldencharter.buzzsprout.com or on a wide range of podcast apps. We produce these episodes for the independent funeral director community. So if you want to hear about a topic or get involved yourself, you can contact me at malcolm.flanders@goldencharter.co.uk. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next time on the Partnership Podcast.